We are continuing our series called What If, talking about what if moments. In the last 6 weeks or so, we have addressed some real deep stuff. And here's my challenge to us as the church, that we continue to go deeper as we ask this question of what if. Because here's what we believe. We believe if we make different choices, our life is going to be different. And when I make a choice to go after Jesus, my life will be different. That doesn't mean your circumstances and life won't hit you. It just means you have a different perspective. You have a different, so when it comes to responding, when it comes to conversation, when it comes to relationships, when I respond differently to the people in my life and relationships, I get different turnouts. I get different, I got different reactions. Sometimes I prolong the discussion. Sometimes I prolong the discouragement by my response. So what if I respond differently? A lot of the guys and some of our girls in our small groups this past week discussed James 1, 19 through 26, which 19 is pretty much where we stayed, which is being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. That's difficult to do, you guys. Quick to listen is not like our spiritual gift. That's hard. We're usually quick to speak and apologize later if we even get to that. So being quick to listen, slow to speak, but this is Ezekiel 37. As we dive into this, I'm not talking James 1:19. I'm talking about when God speaks and we need to speak up. I need to be listening, yes, and listening to the voice of the Lord, but now what do I do? Now that I've heard God say, when do I speak? When do I talk? When do I rise up and be a voice of truth and grace to the people around me? We hear about a man named Ezekiel who was 25 years old and God told him to do something that was crazy. It seemed absurd. It seemed like it was one of the most craziest things to do, but God said to do it. And I think we're living in a day and age, a culture where God is asking us to do some things that do not make sense in the natural. It does not make sense to love people that culture has deemed unlovable. Or people who have treated us wrongly, but maybe love does win. So what if I loved, and what if I responded differently, and what if I spoke up when I need to speak up, and what if when I speak up, it's not in anger, but it's in love, and it's in passion, and it's in truth. Maybe that will change the circumstance. Maybe instead of complaining about the circumstance, I spoke truth and grace and mercy and love. Maybe that shifts it. Because you and I, our tendency is to complain. My tendency is to gossip. My tendency is to speak death into situations, and sometimes without us even knowing it. Sometimes it's just our natural reaction. I'm going to be this. I'm going to do this. I'm probably going to be damaged goods like my parents. Or I'm going to probably be just like this because that's what's been passed on. Do we realize what we're speaking into existence when we say those things? This is where we are with Ezekiel. So let's turn there. Ezekiel 37. Let me give you a definition of discouragement real quick. Definition is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust for the future. The result is blindness. The result of discouragement is I'm blind, usually to the truth. Usually to the truth that's in front of me. Usually to the truth that people see that I don't see. It's these moments where if I'm not engaged in relationships and accountability with people and I don't trust and I'm easily discouraged and I'm living in the past or I'm hating my present situation and I have people around me who see the truth, if I'm not engaged in a relationship where I can allow them to speak into my life, all of a sudden now I'm blind to the truth. At some point, it's not everybody else's fault. At some point, it's me. I have to discern when are those moments that I don't need to be blind. The Bible is clear, and we'll read this. I'll back this up with Scripture, not just with my thoughts. We'll read this. The point of the Scripture is to correct us, is to challenge us, is to push us into truth. So when I read the Bible, it's not so much about getting warm, fuzzy feelings. It's about how is this correcting me to be the man, the woman that God has called me to be? Because you and I can be blinded by the truth. I think part of it, hear me out, this is what marriage is for. That your spouse could be a voice of reason to see something that you don't see. That maybe they're not just against you. Maybe they're for you. And I think that's what shows where we distrust the most. That we instantly get offended by the truth that's spoken to us instead of seeing the truth. I'm so offended that you even went there. I never even see the truth. And I instantly think people are against me. Well, they're not for me. Maybe they're speaking the truth because they are for you. That's what grace is. Grace is not that I'm against you. Grace is that I want you to be better. So the difference, and we talk about this in small group, the difference in how we ask questions, you know, what we say to our spouses, how we say them to our spouses. You know, if I was to maybe say to my spouse, my wife, Kelly, if I was to say, hey, we should start going to the gym. It could be easily taken as, well, what are you saying? Whereas the truth might be, I want us to work out together. I want us to do this together. Whereas it could not be a slam of, and all of that comes down, as easy or small as that may seem, all that comes down to is, do I trust the person I'm in relationship with? Translate that into a relationship with Jesus. When he asks us to do something, ultimately it comes down to, do I trust God? Do I trust him in what he's asking me to do? Or if I'm so far into the future trying to pinpoint and question everything that God's asking me to do and trying to come up with a scenario, maybe all God wants me to do is that. We're trying to figure it out on our own. This is Ezekiel. Background of Ezekiel 37 is the nation of Israel is in captivity. Not captivity like you or I understand. They've been in the promised land. They have a king. And now all of a sudden Babylon and the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar has come and he's taken them back into captivity. The nation of Israel is dying. They are a nation who is seeing death. A couple years ago in 2008, we went to Cambodia with Jim Harris, who was here a couple months ago. And from 1975 to 1979, under a certain regime, 2.5 million people were slaughtered in Cambodia. There are 20,000 mass graves in Cambodia where there are just bones. And we went to a place, I want to show you real quick. You can't get the image or the picture. This is a tower. And behind us, this is the most awkward tourist picture ever because we're trying to smile and it felt so uncomfortable to smile because that whole tower behind us, and you can't see, but behind that glass is human skulls. The whole thing is human skulls. It's just skulls, but I mean, just a tower from under this regime. If you've seen the movie The Killing Fields, old movie, but that's what this was about in Cambodia. Now, you can see in this picture, there's several people that may be familiar to. Jess Andrews in that picture. Sherry Coleman is right next to me in that picture. Jess Wade's in that picture. Jim Harris, of course. You would go to the prisons and you would see blood still on the concrete. I mean, guys, this is 1975 to 79. I was born during that time period. Some of you were old then. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not that long ago. That's not that long ago. This is happening in our lifetime where 2.5 million people in a four-year time frame died. 2.5 million people. And still today in Phnom Penh, still today in Cambodia, there's resemblance of skulls everywhere. So now let's pick up Ezekiel 37. This is the vision God spoke to Ezekiel. Verse 1 and 2. We have these on our notes on YouVersion. You can follow along there. Really detailed notes this week. If you have the YouVersion app, it's on the screen. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord, a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried up. Here's this moment. It's this vision that God has given Ezekiel, and he places him right in the middle of a field full of bones. This is carnage. This is chaos. This is not nicely, neatly placed bones. This is skulls and body parts, and this is where he is. He's in the middle. It's just seas, a sea of bones everywhere that he looks. Hopeless. Death everywhere. You're looking around and you're going, there's nothing good from this. And he's telling Ezekiel, this is the state of your nation. It is dead. It is hopeless. It is lifeless. He's showing Ezekiel, because Ezekiel was a man after God's heart. He had a heart for God. And he's showing him this. He's saying, listen, this is what you need to see. This is the truth of where you are, where your nation is. And continues. Verse 3. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Now picture this. In the natural, where do you and I go? No. You and I in the natural go, are you kidding me? Like, are you joking? No. These bones can't live again. They're dead. This is God's question. This is God's point. And I think sometimes in our life, this is the same scenario we're in, where we're asked a question. We're asked a question, can my situation, can it live again? Can my marriage live again? Can my finances live again? Can my dreams live again? And we start getting asked this question, and in the natural, we don't see a way out. We see impossible situations. We see chaos and we see craziness. And God looks at us and says, can these bones live? It seems impossible in our eyes. The disciples went through this. They're walking with Jesus. They're walking with Jesus. And Jesus is talking about being born again. And here's what the disciples say. Verse chapter 19 of Matthew. Two verses, 25, 26. The disciples were astounded. And they asked this question, then who in the world can be saved? Who can be saved? Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. Humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. But with God. See, you and I, it's easy to stop. The disciples, it's like, it's humanly impossible. This is where Ezekiel is. This is impossible. But we have a God that delights in the impossible. We have a God who sees a situation or a person is hopeless. And when I see a person that's hopeless and I see a situation that's hopeless, I'm slapping God in the face. When I say it's impossible, when I look at a coworker and say, that guy's gone, that guy's crazy, there's no hope for him, I'm slapping God in the face and saying, you can't do this. What am I saying? I'm saying, God, I don't trust you enough. There are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. That's what we have to see. Verse 4, just giving you background. Real quick before we dive in. Verse 4. And God said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I'll put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath into you and you'll come to life. Then you'll know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there's a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Would it not be absurd to think that dry bones, to speak to bones? Like, anybody else find this fascinating that here's the only thing Ezekiel was asked to do was speak? Prophesy. He didn't say, hey, could you start duct taping the bones back together? Could you nicely arrange them? He just said, speak a message of what I've said for you to speak. Don't put your words in it. Just speak my words into it. Prophesy. When God's word goes forth, things start to happen. This is why the writer of Hebrews says, for the word of God is alive. It's powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes the truth of what's really going on inside of us. See, with friends we can hide. With friends we can make believe. With friends I can put on a smile and I can fool you. But with God, He exposes what is really going on and He causes us to be alive again. The Word of God is alive and is powerful. You want to know if you've been radically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's simply in the question of, am I alive? Am I allowing the Word of God to expose my innermost thoughts and desires and to correct me? Or am I not teachable? Do I know all the answers? Am I the person that has it all together? And because I've tricked everybody, God says, you've still not tricked me, because this is what the Word of God exposes. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. That means it doesn't matter our age. The Word of God was written, the testimonies, the Word that was written during Ezekiel's time, during John's time, during Paul's time, was written to teach us. No matter your age, we still should be teachable. We should be people that are learning, so that through the endurance taught in Scripture, what was taught in Scripture? Keep going. Endurance was taught in Scripture. And the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. We give up so fast. We hear, you want me to speak to what? I'm good. It'd be easier for me to be quiet. It's easier for me to complain about it. It's easier for me to get on the phone and talk to one of my friends and just talk about the situation instead of speaking life into the situation. In fact, most of the time, I'm going to get more people on board when I'm talking against the Word of God than when I'm talking for the Word of God, because the Word of God is going to correct me. It's going to cause me to endure. It's going to ultimately give me hope. But sometimes we prolong the process of deadness because of what we speak. Or don't speak. He said, prophesy what the word of the Lord says. You don't have to say a thing. Just repeat what I've asked you to say. And we mess this up. We say what we want to say. It's on the smallest things. Not in front of dead bones, but in our marriages, with our kids. We say what we want to say. It's not from the Lord. Just because we're the parents doesn't mean it's the voice of the Lord. There are things that we say that are speaking dead instead of life into the people that God has given us. And then we go, God, why are our kids the way they are? Maybe it's because of the way I'm speaking to them. Maybe it's because of the way I'm parenting. Maybe it's because it's the way they hear me talk with attitude to their mother. The greatest thing that I can do on Valentine's is treat my wife like the princess and the daughter and of the king that she is, so that my kids see that. And the things that we love to do is to make out in front of our kids. Well, I love to do it. She just kind of stands there. That's a picture of so much of our almost 19 years of marriage. Oh, poor me. But it's awesome to me when Lila starts closing her eyes and she's like, Dad, that's gross. I love it. So we just do it more, you know? The Word of God is a window into who we really are. That's why the Bible says, it is a lamp to guide my feet, to light my path. Sometimes that light shows us we're on the wrong path. Sometimes that light shows us our feet aren't where they're supposed to be. The intent isn't to just expose and say, what a tool you are. The intent is to get you on the right path. Maybe instead of being so easily offended by the exposure of the Word of God, maybe if we would just trust the fact that it's to make us better, better husbands, better men, better friends, and not just to expose us. See, we've twisted this in culture. We love seeing the exposure of people. Oh my gosh, they fell. What happens inside of us? There's a little bit of, well, at least that's not me. There's a little bit of comparison that happens where, well, I do some things wrong, but at least I'm not as bad as that guy. And we feel a little better about ourselves. I think ultimately what we're saying is, I don't have the heart of Jesus because my heart should break. My heart should mourn. My heart should prophesy to the dead areas of whatever I just heard. And sometimes that's personal and sometimes it's across the country. Here's what Tozer said, and I love this. He said, religious instruction, however sound, is not enough by itself. It brings light, but it cannot impart sight. The assumption that light and sight are synonymous has brought spiritual tragedy to millions. The Pharisees looked straight at the light of the world for 3 years, but not one ray of light reached their inner beings. Light is not enough. The inward operation of the Holy Spirit is necessary to saving faith. The gospel is light, but only the Spirit can give sight. We have to hear that. That's why the Bible is clear. Paul telling the Corinthian church, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom or there's liberty. What is Paul telling the Corinthian church? He's saying, listen, where the Spirit of the Lord is, and the Lord is that Spirit, where He is, that's where there's freedom. That's where there's liberty. See, you and I can be alive but not really living. This is what we're seeing in Ezekiel 37. I'm going to dive in. Here's major points. Here's my major thoughts. Five of them. The first thing is, the Message translation of Ezekiel 37 starts with three words. I love looking at different translations. The Message starts with grabbed by God. Ezekiel was grabbed by God. Like, that's the first three words of Ezekiel 37. I want to be grabbed by God. I want to be so grabbed by God that I'm so different. That I'm different everywhere that I go. Not just I'm this guy here and I'm this guy here. I want to be so grabbed by God that when I see people, I literally break for them. Not because I know it's the right thing to do, but because I genuinely break for them. I want to be so grabbed by God that the only thing that consumes me, that I'm concerned with, is Him. This is what's happening with Ezekiel. He was so grabbed by God that he will never be the same again. This vision that he has, what God gives him of this vision of where his nation is, and the voice piece that he has, the influence that he has, he was so grabbed by God that he would never be the same again. What if I got that vision for my school, or for my family, or for my coworkers, or for my workplace, and instead of complaining about how bad my job is, I got a vision, I was so grabbed by God. Instead of complaining that my kids do this and my kids, I was so grabbed by God that now the vision, see, I believe God gives us vision for our families to lead us because your kids are different. They're not the same. I can't read books and go, well, if I just raise them in A, B, and C. No, they're different. They're going to respond different. Yes, there can be some consistency, but there has to be a voice of the Lord telling us how to raise each kid differently. Because some of them are going to be more crazy than the others. Come on. And if I just go, well, I treated this one like this, and so I got to treat... No, I got to be so grabbed by God as a parent that I'm in tune with what God's doing. And just because I see someone does something on Facebook and, oh, this must be a good parenting tool, I'm going to do this. That might just be for them. I got to be so grabbed by God that I'm in tune with what God's saying. He didn't call everybody to the middle of this field of bones. He gave Ezekiel this vision. Stop depending on the word of the Lord in someone else's life, and you hear the word of the Lord. You let God speak to your ears. Hey, you raise your son, your daughter like this. This is a plan that, listen, let's not just trust God with the major decisions when life is changing for us. Let's every single day go, God, I want to be so grabbed by you that you leave me today. Maybe I thought I was going to work today, and all of a sudden you asked me to do something totally different. What if I was so grabbed by God? Listen, when I know I'm grabbed by God, he's going to take me places I wouldn't have thought I would have gone. So how do I do that? I'm a practical guy. Okay, I want to be grabbed by God. We got that. How? How do I do that? Well, I think there's a couple key things before Ezekiel. First thing is, position yourself. If I'm in the wrong position, first, I'm not hearing what God is asking me to do. Sometimes it's not about your willingness to hear God. It's you're in the wrong place. Position yourself so that God can grab you. You're over here. God says, I want you right here. Here is where God can grab you. You're willing over there, but God says, you're out of position. Get in position. Prioritize your spiritual walk. I heard a term this past week I've never in my life heard. And the term was vampire Christian. Never heard that before in my life. It's very interesting. It perked my ears. Christians who only want the benefit of the blood of Jesus covering their sins, but they don't want to be disciplined or transformed by Jesus. Which is what I think. I'll throw a percentage out there. No, I won't. Majority of a lot of people that come to church are. I want the benefit of Jesus, but don't ask me to change. Don't ask me to give up things. Because now we've made giving up things as, well, you're just not letting me be in my liberty or my freedom in Christ. Listen, if this freedom in Christ that you have is causing you to sin, that's not freedom in Christ. That's your wrong voice. It's a voice, but it's not Jesus. It's the deceiver. It's the angel of light showing up in disguise. Because that's the enemy's scheme, according to John 10:10. As to what? To steal, kill, and destroy. There's nothing good about any of those three things. Oh, stealing's not that bad. Yeah, it is. Steal your joy, steal your attitude, all that. Kill, destroy. I mean, that's the plan of the enemy. But Jesus has come to give us life, and life to the fullest or abundantly. We have to see that. So how do I prioritize my spiritual walk? You have to be disciplined. If you want to be grabbed by God, you have to be disciplined on the things that you do to hear God's voice. Guys, you have to make Jesus time. And you have to get creative because you're busy. You have to get creative. You have to prioritize this. You have to hunger for more of God. You have to keep your heart pure before God. That's not just a lust statement. Because Hebrews 12 says, the root of bitterness, don't allow the root of bitterness to spring up. How does the root of bitterness spring up? When I allow some residue of anger or hurt or bitterness to hang out, it grows. So to keep myself pure, I, according to Hebrews 12, have to dig up these roots. Has anybody ever dug up anything? It's not like surface. You might have to dig deeper. And some of you, I'm sorry, but you have crazier upbringings. You have to dig longer. It's going to take you longer. Some of you, you have model parents and it was awesome and blah, 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 and all of a sudden, but it's only 2 feet. But you still got to dig up the bitterness because there are some things that happened to you. And some of you are like, well, I'm a bigger process. We're all a process. We're all a process. It's just, am I prioritizing this or am I digging? If I dig today and I dig next Sunday and the Sunday after that, it's going to take a while. So you coming to church and digging for a couple minutes, it's going to be a longer process. Some of you, you need to dig now. You need to get into a small group. You need to get an accountability. And you're like, gosh, I feel like all I'm doing is, you've got a lot to dig up. Resist the distractions of life that try to grab you. There are distractions. Last one. Be open to change. I think the older that we all get, because every day we're all getting older. Can we say that? Amen? Yep. It's not just certain people. We're all getting older. I remember when my mom turned 40. Here we go. All right, so I remember that. Like, I remember. I was there. I was a sophomore. I was like, yeah, my mom's 40. She's old. I'm just saying. To me, at that time, she was. We're all getting older. The older we get, the harder it is to change. Be open to change. Some of you, that's like, oh my gosh, I'm in high school. I'm totally open to change. Some of you, you're 50, and it's like, you're stuck. Be open to change. Change is not bad. Second thing, this question that he asked that we have to look at again is, can these bones live? You have to answer this question. You have to answer this. And how Ezekiel answers it is pretty awesome. Because what Ezekiel says is, God, you ask the question and you alone can answer it. It's a great response. I can't answer it. You have to answer it. What is he ultimately saying? God, my confidence is in you. Yeah, it's impossible in my mind. But to you, yes, it's possible. I believe there are moments where we don't even say that. We just go, no. No. These bones can't live. And we move on. And now all of a sudden we're surrounded by bones and we're surrounded by distraction and we're discouraged and there's chaos in our life and there's craziness in our life and we want to pinpoint why there's craziness in our life. It's all because you said no. It's all because you believed that it wouldn't live again. You allowed it to stay dead when God wanted to bring life. God wanted you to prophesy. God wanted you to speak life into it. And you spoke death and you said no. And you want to know why you're discouraged? It's because you said no. And now there's dead things around you. And now you've compartmentalized your heart. And you have categories that you don't let people go to. And you've brought that now in your marriage. And that's why sometimes your kid is responding to the way you responded. It's not somebody else messing them up. It's not the schools. It's not your babysitter. It's you. All because you've compartmentalized part of your heart to say, I'm not going to go there again. Instead of going, God, only you can transform this. God, only you. He's saying, speak to the dead areas. Live again. Live again. You're not you when you're dead. It's not how God intended it to be. It's not a mindset of, well, heaven's going to be awesome one day, but you're here now. It is. It's going to be awesome. Gold and all that good stuff. But you're here right now. You're alive now and you're missing out on the opportunities because bones are dead. Situations are dead. And instead of speaking life, we're complaining, just getting by. You're mediocre. You're not living. You're not living. Yeah, the bones came back together and they were there. And what did he say? Pray to God, pray to the breath to breathe life into them. To breathe life into them. Maybe you've scoffed at the idea that these bones could live again. Maybe it's your dreams. Maybe it's your marriage and you've settled. Listen, God wants more for your marriage than what you're currently experiencing. And you could be the person that's going, my marriage is great. God still wants more. God still wants more. This is for all of us who are married in this room. There's more to what you're experiencing in your marriage. So if you're here, there's more. If you're here, there's more. But I can't get to here without going here first. Start with the more. You might have to speak differently into your marriage. Quit telling your girlfriends that your husband is a bad man. Quit complaining to your coworkers about your wife because she does this or she does that. You think it's innocent, but God says you're speaking death into your marriage. You're speaking death into your kids. And they're not even around. They're not even there. But you're speaking death. You're saying no when it comes to your marriage. Your health, your attitude, your finances, your faith, all of these things, we might need to speak life into them instead of what we're currently doing because they're dead bones in our lives. He said in verse 4, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. This is what he said. In Mark 11, what did he tell the disciples? Speak to that mountain, move. In the natural, you go, speak to what? Mountains have ears? Dead bones, dry bones have ears? Yes, they do. Dead bones have ears. And Proverbs tells us death and life are in the power of the... They're in the power of what you speak. Death or life. Choose you this day. Death or life. Oh, by the way, choose life. That's what the Bible says. You know why? Because you and I are stubborn. Sometimes we think death is more important. Hey, choose death or life. Oh, by the way, choose life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why? It's a reminder. Because you and I are stubborn people. Come on, we can be stubborn people. And he has to tell us twice. Choose death or life. Oh, by the way, choose life. As if that's a great, like, this is a no-brainer. Choose life. Again, verse 9 and 10. You could be living but not have life. John 6, Jesus said this. Verse 63. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. He said, I'm going to send you my advocate, the Holy Spirit. And when he transforms the inside of you, you'll never be the same. He said, he's your advocate because he's the one that goes with you everywhere that you go. My spirit imparted in you so that you would be transformed, so that you're not just a being, so that you can live and move and have being, so that you can be alive and active. That's how I know I'm transformed. Is that just that I'm the outside shell, but that I'm actually moving and living and I'm a being. He said, that's the spirit. This is the point. Someone's like, oh my gosh, that person's excited. No, they just have the breath of life inside of them. And that's where the comparison mindsets, the envy, the jealousy that holds us back. And the tragedy of life is what dies inside a man while he lives. That's the tragedy. What dies inside of me while I'm still alive? What I'm missing out on? Dale Moody, one of the greatest preachers of all time. I highly encourage you, like, listen to some of the old teachings of him. But this is what he said. A preacher said this. I'd rather be able to pray than to be a great preacher. Because Jesus never taught his disciples how to preach, but he did teach them how to pray. And what Ezekiel 37 is saying when it comes to prayer and the difference between being alive and having life is prayer. As he says, don't be the guy that just prophesies. Don't be the guy that just proclaims it. Don't be the guy that just evangelizes. Be the guy that prays that the Spirit of God transforms a person. He says, don't be the guy that just speaks. Be the guy that taps into God, breathe life into that person. Because you and I, we can make an impression, but when the Spirit of God comes in, that's what transforms. We impress people. We can impress people. With our speech, with our actions, with what we do. But we don't need to impress people. We need God to transform people. The bones were alive. They were standing there. And Ezekiel's like, this is awesome. Look, it worked. It's like Doc in Back to the Future, you know? It's like, you know, it works. It works. But he said, now breathe life into them and watch these bones thrive. Watch these bones become alive and not just people that are standing in front of you. He says, prophesy what you are becoming, not what you are, which is what we sometimes do. He says, speak faith into that situation. I'm not talking about naming and claiming it. I'm talking about speaking God's word, God's promise into your situation. What did God say to do? Guys, the question has not changed. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? God, only you. Last three verses, and you guys come on. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile. I will cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you. You will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I've done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Here's what he's trying to get us to do. Here's what he's trying to get us to understand. You thought it was dead. God says all you got to do is speak life into it and it will live again. You and I are forced. We are forced with the decision of will I be a person that speaks life and breathes life into the situation, or will I be the person that is surrounded by the bones and just settle there? That's what we have to decide. That's where we have to come to this conclusion. How am I going to live? Am I going to continue to complain and continue to get people on board with how my life is, or am I going to do something different? Right here. What if Ezekiel stood in the middle of the bones and he did nothing? What if he's quick to listen and he just, oh, I heard what God said. I'm just not going to say it. I think it's currently where some of us live. We're surrounded by dead. And we're trying to figure it out on our own. We're trying to get through on our own. We're trying to go, I don't know what to do. And God says, you're in the place that I want you. You're in the place that I want you. You don't have to know what to do. Just speak what I say, son. Just speak what I say, daughter. This is what the Lord says. Prophesy to your dead bones. You can live again. Jesus, today. Jesus, you are good. And your love endures forever. We call out to dry bones, to dead hearts, come alive. We call out to dead relationships, to dead spirits, come alive. We call out to the things that have died in our lives. And let me say this. There's those of you in this room. A word has been spoken over your life, maybe as a child. And you have allowed that thought to linger in your mind for a very long time. And you've believed a lie. Maybe a parent, maybe a friend, maybe it's 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but you still remember when you picture a person, you picture that mom, that dad who's spoken a word. Maybe they've said you were nothing, you wouldn't amount to anything. Maybe they've said whatever. You've believed it, and you've even believed possibly that you're damaged goods and that what once was, you still are and you still will be. I'm speaking to that dead area in your life. Come alive. Come alive. The word that was from the pit of hell spoken over your life is a lie. It is not from Jesus. You are a son. You are a daughter of the King. You are transformed. His Spirit can live inside of you. You are a changed person, transformed by the blood and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You are not what was spoken over you. Dead bones, come alive. Come alive. God, I pray that you would breathe your Spirit of life into these souls. To those that feel like they're just living, come alive. Come alive. And maybe in this moment, as these guys sing, maybe you need to express it. Maybe you need to say it. Maybe you need to tell a person next to you, this is a dead area. I'm going to change the way I'm thinking. I'm going to change the way I'm speaking about it. Guys, this is a declaration that you got to tell someone so that they can get into your life and go, no, stop that. You might think it's innocent and small. You might think it's just a mundane small thing. It's not. You're speaking death instead of life. You've even said, I'm going to become what my parents were. That's death. That's not life. You're different. I don't care what family has spoken over your life. I don't care if you're 80 years old and you can remember what a parent said to you. Come alive. Come alive. It's the word of the Lord. Amen. And would you stand with me right now? I want these guys to sing this song. And maybe some of you just need to hear the words. Maybe you know it. Maybe you need to turn to your spouse and say, listen, I speak life into our marriage. Maybe you need to look at one of your kids and say, something different than you say all the time. Speak life.